It takes a lot of preparation and a lot of interagency outreach, which I think has been a huge success in not only the commands that I'm associated with, but also with the eight interagency partners. Each event and each planning session that we prepare for gets better and better. But it's just about knowing each other, knowing where you fit in the scheme of things, and then bringing those agencies together.
How critical is it to have both civilian organizations as well as military organizations? I mean, clearly it's important to have them all on the same page, but in these planning scenarios, that's where it all begins, right?
It's absolutely critical, and in my mind, it can't be done any other way. As the Department of Defense, Defense's representative, I am in support of the primary agency, and so it's absolutely critical that we have the right players at all levels, interagency team members, from the planning through execution and rehearsals.
What sort of things do you encounter during these sorts of scenarios? When it comes to a hurricane, gosh, how do you plan for something like that?
There's a lot of modeling that can be done. I know in particular what I have been working on recently with my region is search and rescue operations, and I'm a part of a region that has the Caribbean, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, and the territory of the U.S. Virgin Islands. Some of the dynamics down there will be challenging, but what you do with the modeling and people's real experiences, you can look at a scenario and then develop any planning factors and assumptions in order to make your planning more effective.
Give me, for instance, give me a typical hour in one of these planning scenarios.
A typical hour would be for you state the hour, and then what normally happens is there's a scenario setting a paragraph. In other words, it is now landfall minus 72 hours,
mm-hmm.
And at that point in time, the script and the attendees in sequence will go ahead and address critical actions and critical functions that are ongoing for their agency at that point in time. And it is obviously given the scenario H minus 72 in this example, and where the agency is in its preparation, where the in this case, hurricane is in its effect of a potential population or area, and then everybody just walks through in sequence their agency's actions.
Are you able to speak to the learning process, or where you find gaps, and how you've learned throughout the years doing these sorts of scenarios?
I think that's one of the critical things that we that comes from one of these operations, and that's why, again, it's so important for the interagency partnerships at all levels to be a part of it.
Al B. Lewis, and I'm the Federal Coordinating Officer with FEMA. When the Colonel gave the example of a timeline, we had back planning from landfall, back planning from the time when the winds start hitting the coast, and look at how you fill those gaps for such things as evacuation, search and rescue, etc. And so this kind of pre-planning like this and exercising is critical to the success, because it gives us a chance to identify other shortcomings, everything from communication to how we do business, to ensure we work those out ahead of time. So that working relationship is absolutely critical to success.
FEMA took a lot of lumps after Hurricane Katrina, and this is lessons learned from Katrina, that this is an opportunity to make sure everybody's on the same page if something horrible like that were to happen again.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, I'll tell you that we learn lessons in every single hurricane that we respond to. And each time you tweak the system, so to speak, to get better.
This is Steve DiBlasio. I'm also a FEMA Federal Coordinating Officer and currently serving as the team leader for the National IMAT East. That's the Incident Management Assistance Team. We all have to recognize that this is really a bottom-up process. Both the good Colonel and Al B. Lewis here had mentioned how we in peacetime, you know, we look at gaps and, you know, we go to the states who accordingly then go to the local and county officials. And we have a process called the gap analysis where, you know, we run models. We can anticipate what type of devastation could be caused by varying degrees of events, whether they be man-made or natural. And based on those models, they predict what the needs may very well be under the certain scenarios. So from the local level, you know, looking at their capabilities, flowing up through the county emergency managers to the state level, where they kick in resources to support those locals, when it comes to the point where the state has realized that, well, there's going to be a gap that, you know, at the local, county, and state level, you know, we have this gap. They hand that over to us, and we work with them through that process and identify what the potential gaps are so that we have somewhat of an idea where the challenges are going to be. It may be evacuation. It could be extreme housing needs, similar to what we saw in Katrina. And working with the states and locals, after having identified those gaps, we try to figure out solutions. The goal is to help the states help themselves because, again, you know, disasters are, they begin and end at the local and state level, and we are in support. So the better prepared we are, the better aware we are of what the potential gaps may be, then the better we are going to be in a position to serve our constituents, which are the states.